finally, we see Israel getting right with God. Judges chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. Then all the children of Israel, that is all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. Absolute lack of success in their first two battles makes them examine their hearts, and now they do four important things to get on the right track. First of all, weeping and fasting. This was a way of showing sorrow for their sins. Secondly, they gave burnt offerings. Every morning and every evening, Israel was supposed to offer a lamb as a burnt offering. This whole sacrifice being burned up as an offering to God was a constant reminder that they deserved to be burned up because of their sins, but God's grace provided a substitute lamb instead. So here there is finally a recognition of their guilt of sin. Thirdly, they gave peace offerings. These too were sacrifices of animals, but in the case of a peace offering, there was a meal involved as well. The priest ate part of the sacrifice, and the person or persons making the offering ate the rest, along with their family and guests. As they did so, they recognized that God was the host, and they could eat with him now because the sacrifice had made peace between them. So these peace offerings symbolized restoration of communion with God again. And fourthly, they inquired of the Lord. After having done a lot of talking among themselves, maybe too much, they finally asked God what to do. They sought his direction. These four steps remind us that it's not enough to be against evil. We must also be right with God. Verses 29 through 35 tell the story of the third attack. And at last, there is success, but at a terrible price. Let's pick it up at Judges 20, verse 29. Then Israel set men in ambush all around Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in battle array against Gibeah as at the other times. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike down and kill some of the people as at the other times, in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah, and in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, "They are defeated before us, as at first." But the children of Israel said, "Let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways." So all the men of Israel rose from their place and put themselves in battle array at Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Geba. And 10,000 select men from all Israel came against Gibeah, and the battle was fierce. But the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel. And the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites. All these drew the sword. Israel is finally successful after getting right with God. But in keeping with the overall theme of Judges, the narrator emphasizes in verse 35 that the Lord defeated Benjamin. It must always be so. Victories in our lives are only possible by the action of our Lord. Zechariah 4 verse 6 tells us, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." The verses we just read give the first account of this third battle, which provides a summary and theological perspective on the battle. Verses 36 through 48 tell the same story, but this time giving us more details as to how it was fought and won. Part of the army attacked Gibeah head-on, while another group of soldiers hid in ambush. Verse 38 and 39. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Verse 40. When the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and there was the whole city going up in smoke to heaven. Verse 40 uses a couple of words which help us understand better what is happening. The first word for smoke is a little unusual in Hebrew. The last time it was used in the Old Testament was Joshua 8, concerning the Canaanite city of Ai. If you remember that story, you may recall that Joshua and his army used a classic military tactic of setting up an ambush behind the city while part of the army drew the defenders out the front gate. Once the men of Ai had left the city, then the men in ambush rushed in and set it on fire. At that point, with the soldiers of Ai in confusion, the other part of Joshua's army turned back on them, and they were caught in a deadly sandwich and destroyed. But when you look at the defeat of Gibeah here in Judges, it is virtually the same tactic. This Israelite city is now being treated as if it were an ungodly Canaanite town. The second word for smoke in verse 40 is even more unusual in Hebrew. It is the term used for a whole burnt sacrifice. And the last time that word was used in the Old Testament was back in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10, concerning whole burnt offerings. In other words, Gibeah is not only destroyed, but burned as a whole burnt sacrifice, an offering to God for sin. What does this tell us about sin? It's serious with God. God's people must obey God and not do what is right in their own eyes. Which brings us to one further subheading, focus on the eye. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If our physical vision is good, we can see what we are doing and where we are going. If our eye is good or clear, if we have spiritual vision, life will be filled with purpose and drive. Your whole body will be full of light. But if our eye is bad, if our spiritual vision is clouded with evil thoughts and desires, or in the vocabulary of Judges, by doing what is right in our own eyes, then our whole life is in darkness. The Greek expression for a good or clear eye literally means to braid or twine together. In other words, having singleness of purpose, not having a divided focus. Opening our eyes towards God wide in wonder and belief, as Peterson's The Message puts it. John Stott wrote, "Just as our eye affects our whole body, so our ambition, where we fix our eyes and heart, affects our whole life." Most people in the times of the Judges did what was right in their own eyes because they were no longer focused on God. They had turned away from God, and their whole life, nationally and individually, became filled with darkness. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, once again from the Living Bible, says, "If your eye is pure, there will be sunshine in your soul. But if your eye is clouded with evil desires and thoughts, you are in deep spiritual darkness. And oh, how deep that darkness can be," as these last chapters in Judges so graphically illustrate. So may God help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.